Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Sports Hub.com. You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm going to give you back to our owner, Mr. Irsay, right here, okay?
Awesome, thank you so much.
Here's Mr. Irsay.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
Yeah.
Well, good. Listen, I've seen Hannah on the field live. I've seen Munoz on the field live. I've seen them throw guys around. All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are, and we need your leadership, your toughness, and your long time 12 plus career that I know you can bring, man. And we couldn't be more excited to have you, man. You're a rare person, and you've accomplished incredible things. This is a big day for you. I hope you're taking it in with your family, and we can't wait to get you. And Andrew needs protection.
For the Colts, Peyton, salary cap, for the Colts, and Peyton. Colts. Peyton. For the Colts.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And who does not love Jim Irsay? Oh, the world. He loves pills and rocking out with Grateful Dead guitars, the original manuscript on the road.
Travels with bags of cash just because he's that kind of guy.
His avatar for his Twitter account is him holding the Colts 1 Super Bowl trophy with a line of guitars behind
him. Because he just stopped at a line.
On the field.
Yeah, okay, with a line. Right. Okay. So, I'm more of an IV guy.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, somebody said, is that Jim Irsay or the Jacksonville lady? They do kind of sound similar. I mean, it's like,
hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Took it to the limit.
It's the same gruff voice that they have.
Yeah. And so you love Irsay and Rich. You know, he loves to collect guitars. He loves to rock out.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to act like one of the boys. Come on, man.
When we were in town for the Super Bowl, and they had it in Indianapolis, do you remember across the street from where the Media Row was, they had some sort of museum, and the big exhibit while we were there was, come check out Irsay's guitar collection.
Yep, and I went into it.
And were you blown away?
No.
I was actually quite bored and was glad that it was free.
There's a nice coffee shop right next to it, though, you were able to sit in.
Well, that is Indianapolis for you. Those are the memories that stick with you for a lifetime.
Right. It was that place and a really nice Applebee's.
Yeah, well, was that even Applebee's?
No, it was TGI.
Oh, okay. How can I get TGI. That mixed up?
I've never had more TGI Fridays in my entire life.
So Jim Irsay is not just, of course, the owner of the Colts, who's been notorious for getting in trouble, but he also loves to talk about the Dunes. Here he is on a television show, which, by the way, looks way more dated than it is. I think this is only from like 5-6 years ago, but it looks like it was filmed in like 1987.
Because it was the only, it was like the only people that would talk to him about this.
Yeah, it was like the from the producers of the video New England, the Patriots, and we.
Yeah, they said, "Hey man, who will talk to me about rocking?"
That's right. So
public television for the people.
Right, here he is on one of those morning talk TV talk shows. And guess what he brought? He brought the old Geet, six-string Sally. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Back one-on-one now with Jim Irsay and guitar. And you collect guitars. You've got, what, Elvis Presley, Jerry Garcia. I believe you have one.
Right.
George Harrison's, do you know?
Yeah, George Harrison, that John Lennon played on the White Album as well. It was a real signature piece for the Beatles, Ed Sullivan Show, and their last show at Candlestick Park. George played that thing a lot, so it's really precious.
Piece I've heard that you take your guitar on the road with you when the Colts have an away game, and that you sometimes play in your hotel room till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm wondering, I hope Peyton Manning is not in the next room.
I hope that no one's around. Peyton's in the next room. Hey, Peyton, come in, man.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
You know, I just do a bunch of blow and just sit up and just make it happen. Up till 2, 3 in the morning, how many days? 2-3 days, man. Someone's got to learn the beginning to Stairway to Heaven.
I was joking with Kyrie Irving that if he signed to the Knicks, that James Dolan would make him sit down and listen to his awful band.
We had him. We had him for about 2 seconds, too.
I guarantee you. I guarantee you Irsay makes his guy sit in and listen to him play.
Yeah, he calls him in the office and to let him know he's cool. He's just noodling on Garcia's guitar like, trucking, man.
Hey, you fired up?
Good old Jerry, man. Don't worry about a thing.
Well, Mike, maybe when I was younger, I think it's to bed a little bit earlier sometimes as you get older. I take it around. It's great. It's the thing about an acoustic guitar and acoustic piano, that's kind of where really popular music gets written and developed. And
you know, I just carry this piano around with me. That's where really good music gets written. So you must not own one.
I've never wanted John Belushi from Animal House to show up more in my life.
It would be so funny if just someone went in there and went, oh, this is Jerry Garcia's guitar. For the good of humanity, I'm lighting it on fire. And then all of a sudden, this like really smelly fat dude comes out of it.
Like a genie?
Yeah. If you rub the guitar, it just comes out and
it just gives up. It takes a nap.
And all girls with hairy armpits, the hair recedes back into their body.
And the great thing about an acoustic guitar, it's such a self-contained instrument, easy to carry around. Time is precious. There's not enough of it, so I don't really get to play enough. I find my calluses, all guitarists knows, your left hand, your calluses on your tips are either really hardened because you play a lot or they start getting soft. So mine get a bit soft because I don't have a chance to play a lot, but you keep it around. Sometimes even you get it out for 20 minutes when the inspiration hits you.
And you know, when your hands get soft, you just, you know, inject some fentanyl and all the pain goes away, baby. Just get a suitcase full of pills.
Hey, you fired up?
Yeah, I am. Woo!
Let's try some right now. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to conjure something up here that people might know. Out is one lost song.
This is what happens when your father does everything for you and you just inherit his crap.
Right.
Holy moly. This is the entitlement that happens when your father, your drunk father, builds a team and then dies and hands it to you, and you have nothing but money and no one to tell you. You're an idiot.
Yeah, let's go on TV. What are we going to play? How about a nice minor key song, and let's slog it. Let's make it like twice as slow as the original.
I think I got something for you I might be able to pull up. I don't know.
I'm able to whip something up here.
I might whip something. Maybe I could. I didn't know you'd ask.
Let's just skip to the second clip. Because apparently this gentleman, this is him on stage. He apparently hijacked a John Cougar Mellencamp show.
The Cougs, man. He's from Indy.
The Cougs. He hijacked one of the shows probably because he was like getting paid to. And he's like,
pink houses. Who doesn't know that?
Time for me.
I was just like Jack and Diane, except I had a multi-million dollar father who gave me everything.
But I got the blues.
You know, sometimes I get that. Inherited, did nothing with my life blues.
So here he is on stage taking over and just taking a Cougar Mellencamp show to a screeching halt.
Hey, Camp, get off stage. The earth has got a shred.
But your thoughts may soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours.
So he knows one song. I don't even know
what song that is.
That's Turn the Page by Bob Seger, which he's butchering, but he knows one song.
Yeah, the Siegs, man.
Jesus.
Sometimes you got to turn the page.
He knows one song.
Jim Irsay, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
You guys fired up?
No, of course we're fired up.
We're listening to you play.
Oh, man, I know you heard me jamming some tasty licks. You know, sometimes people are always focused on, like, the famous stuff that I keep in my office, but, like, you guys know I'm big into the alt-rock scene. I got a lot of sweet, sweet stuff in there.
Yeah? Like what? From who?
Oh, man, I got, like, Wes Borland's black contact lenses, man.
The Limp Bizkit.
People think I'm wearing them sometimes, but really I'm just tripping my balls off.
Your pupils get very large.
They do.
Oh, man. I got a sandwich that Fiona Apple never ate. I got, sorry, man. It's a little froggy. I got John Popper's TheraBand that they used for his gastric bypass, man.
You kept the band from his stomach.
Yeah.
Well, these sounds like... Now, where do you display these?
Well, you know, I like to keep those in my bedroom. Those are kind of like an aphrodisiac, man.
So Fiona Apple sandwich will get you aroused.
It's done the job before, man.
Okay, right. Didn't Hardy take a Coke can that was drank by, what was it, Fiona Apple, or was somebody like that?
Yeah, he did. He took a Coke can, and he still has that in his possession.
Right. Veruca Salt, that's who it was.
Oh, well, I mean, how could you get a Coke can from Veruca Salt again? Maybe go to the food truck they work at.
All right. You have to hear the chorus.
Hang on real quick.
And you don't feel much like riding. It is a whisper trip, a whisper to you. I said, here I go. A playing star again. Here I go. Turn the page.
Well, that was necessary.
Oh, wow. How many people are there for this?
It's a Cougar Mellencamp. I mean, Mellencamp can play a shed.
Yeah, probably several thousand people.
Is he the singer
Complete?
Ladies and gentlemen, my new group Complete.
That's right.
It's like a doogie boogie.
Yeah, man. Hoogie Boogie Land.
Hoogie Boogie Land.
Complete is the best group. All right, I know we have to break, but Complete, if you don't know, is a band that is like they got a gig and they obviously had never prepared for it, which I think a lot of people have done. I've done the same thing in my life, is that like we just like said, oh, we'll play here and then no songs, but we were kids.
Yeah.
These are adults that said, we'll play this thing that's going to be on TV and we have no idea what we're doing.
Hey, Sparky!
Where you going, man? Where there's no problems. Hoogie Boogie Land.
Hoogie Boogie Land.
This is like when I found out the statute of limitations ran out for statutory.
Ready for our version of a party song? Are y'all ready?
Yeah!
Hey, can I hear you on the back? Are y'all ready out there?
Well, we just did it. Really no back. All right, do we have to break?
All right, you say no? Well, how about this? We're going to take you on a little trip to a land called Hoogie Boogie Land. Hey, Sparky! Yeah, man, what's up? Hey, man, you want to do us, the band, and all these people here a favor and take us on a trip to a magical land?
Yeah, sure, man. Who is that?
Let's go to Hoogie. Boogie
Land. Where you gonna go? They didn't hear you in the back.
Boogie Land.
Sports Hub.
He actually threw a flat ground yesterday. He's going to throw a bullpen inside today. With the conditions out there, it makes no sense for him to go out there and throw it. We're actually using our cage and the visitor's cage today. He'll go through that, and he'll be in line to pitch on Friday.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Alex Cora on the situation with Chris Sale.
I was saying this earlier. There's nothing that Alex Cora has said about Chris Sale in the past 2 weeks that has given me any confidence at all. And I think that is a testament to Alex Cora and what kind of manager he is. I don't think he's capable of BSing anyone. So everything he has said has been just factual. Here's what he's done. Here's what we're working on. He hasn't been optimistic or overly optimistic, but he also... He's just completely mechanical in the way he speaks about him, and that does not give me any sort of faith.
Well, apparently, according to Cora, there are no restrictions. There's no pitch limit for Sale.
He was asked kind of about whether or not he's going to be under any kind of short leash on Friday, and here's what he had to say.
So it's not like you're trying to get him to a certain number of pitches or anything like
that? No. He's fine with it. He's fine where he's at. He got 92. Kind of like towards the end of spring training, although he was actually closer. You know, he started against the Cubs. Yeah. No, the Astros, and then the start against the Rays, but he only threw, I think, like 20 pitches in that first inning before he got hit, and he was fine for game one.
That's completely different. Yeah. It's not even close to the same thing.
Yeah, you're not putting a pitch count at a guy who's starting game one of a playoff series.
But even the run-up, he's comparing the run-up to the regular season. No, it's not the same thing.
And I understand that, but like, why would you even insinuate that there would be a pitch count for a guy in a five-game series?
No.
That's ridiculous. What are you saving him for? Like, you're game one at home. If you lose that, you're screwed. So, of course, there's not going to be a pitch count on him. What's going to happen is you're going to have to see what kind of how lively his fastball is. You're going to have to see, you know, how much he can take. And it does not look good. I mean, when you are applauding that he's throwing on flat ground, this close to a game, it's not that exciting.
I'm not a pitching coach, nor do I pretend to have a great knowledge.
I do.
Of being then I'll ask you. Is just by rotating your hips a little better, does that increase your fastball by 10 miles an hour?
Rotating your hips?
Yeah, that was the thing. Sale said he noticed some mechanical things. His hips weren't rotating through, and that's why his control and velocity were off.
Your control would be off, but I don't know about velocity.
Yeah, so what we're going to see...
What else do you want to know?
That's all.
Circle
for this,
change?
For this particular conversation, that's the only answer I needed.
Hand me a ball. I'll show you the different pitches.
Show me the proper grip on a two-seam fastball.
Even though you threw harder than me years ago.
That's true. I did, by a couple miles an hour. But
I don't like that.
If Sale... I mean, look, if I have a year to get my arm back in shape, maybe we can revisit that. But the Sale we saw the last start of the regular season is going to be close to the Sale we see on Friday. He's not going to come out throwing 100 on Friday. This isn't the Chris Sale we saw in May and June. That's not the guy who's going to show up on Friday.
And
he's going to throw a lot of sliders, a lot of changeups. Hopefully he hits 94, 95 on the gun, and he's going to try and wriggle his way through the Yankees or Oakland that way.
And unfortunately, your changeup, obviously, if I can state the obvious, is not hardly as effective if you're throwing 10 miles an hour slower than you usually are.
Sure. If your fastball is 91, if you throw 87 for a change, that's really not helpful.
That's intimidating.
Let's say this team gets bounced in the first round.
It's a colossal failure.
That goes without saying. What happens in the offseason?
Well, the Sox have a decision to make on Sale. I think he has 1 year left on his contract. I mean, do you want to? I'll double check that. But off the top of my head, he's got 1 year and option year left.
And Price,
they have to decide what they want to do with him. Price has an opt out,
but he's not going to take it.
Yeah, well, that's what he said all the way soon.
Maybe he will because he's been so effective lately.
I mean, and Kimbrel, by the way, is in a walk year also.
You know what, Fred? That's a good point. You know, because at first we were like, why would you walk away from all of that money? It's a ridiculous amount. But, I mean, his numbers have been unbelievable.
Yeah. So if you're that miserable here and there's an opportunity to make that kind of money for a longer deal.
Yeah.
The same amount of years.
I don't know if he's going to make $30 million. You're right. He pitched well for about 3 or 4 months in there. I don't know if he's going to get $30 million from anybody else if he goes out in the open
but
market.
But would you take 25 if you could leave?
Yeah, he's due to make $31 million next year, and for the final 3 years of the contract, $32 million each year.
All right, would you leave if you're him for 25?
No. I mean, the money is where the money is. Now, your statement on this matter is well-earned. He doesn't like Boston. If he has if the quality of life issue, why not take $25 million from St. Louis, where he should have gone in the first place? But I'm here to tell you, Players Association is going to be in his ear saying, you're insane. Don't take less money. There's no way in hell you should take less money. So, I mean, look, Kimbrel's at his walk year. Sale has one option year left for $13.5 million.
Would you retain Kimbrel?
No.
No, neither would I.
No. You have to figure out a way. And the prevailing wisdom is you can find a closer somewhere. And for most teams, that's true. But there's no closer in waiting on the Red Sox roster at the moment. But I'm sure you can sign someone for a lot less to close for you next year. Yeah, so this is it for Kimbrel.
Yeah,
unless he's willing to accept less money. And what did he make? $13 million this year.
No, he's not.
Every closer that signed a long-term contract
ends up
for guys like Rivera and Kimbrel, who's at the end of a four-year, $42 million deal, you know, don't work out.
Yeah, I don't retain him either.
But closers in your 30s, more often than not, you do not spend 5 years at whatever it is, which is what he's going to command on the open market.
And he'll get it.
Yeah, he will. And the Red Sox would be insane to pony up that money. But if the Red Sox get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, or their first round of the playoffs, not only is it a colossal failure, then you're going to have to deal with some serious fallout. Because Dombrowski's great at spending money, but I think there comes a period of time where you have to look at Sale and go, okay, you know, we've gotten him on the cheap, but he's going to get $30, $35 million a year for 5 years, bare minimum, even though he's in his 30s.
And also, you have to look at that the cupboard's completely bare and that everything you're going to have to do is going to be through free agency, which is another thing to browse.
Plus, you have to worry about signing Betts to $40 million a year. You have Bogarts coming up. You have to figure out about that.
Which are moves that they have to make.
Yeah.
Dombrowski's out of here before they make those moves.
True, but theoretically, it's still his call right now.
Yeah, but his MO is, if I'm going to be here for 5 years.
Yeah, he did it with the Marlins, he did it with the Tigers, and now the Red Sox are chapter three, and you'd have to believe the Red Sox kind of knew what they were getting into.
I will ask you a question.
Henry pretty much expects
this. Did Dombrowski do anything personnel-wise that you think that you couldn't have done?
Other than spend a ton of cash?
No, because you could have done that.
Yeah.
Like, if you were the GM of the Red Sox,
well,
is there a move that he made that you couldn't have done?
Getting Kinsler here was pretty nice.
Yeah, but Kinsler can't hit.
No, he's better than, first of all, he's got postseason experience, and he was good there for about a month after they got him. I mean, great, his overall batting average wasn't good when he got here, but after he's gotten here, I bet you he hit well. I have to look it up.
I thought he was under 200.
After he got here? I'll have to look. Look, this is one of those things where you might be right. It's a sneaky knowledgeable thing by you. I don't know.
Sneaky knowledge?
What
they used to call me. Right. Freddie Sneaky Knowledge. But what I've always said about Dombrowski is, like, I could have signed Chris Sale.
The Pomeranz trade actually worked. Well, it actually worked out for him last year.
Last year, but
17-6. Now this year he's been an abomination and won't be on the postseason roster. But last year he was a number two starter in the playoffs,
which you lost in the first
round. I understand, but that's not Pomeranz. The trade
I
worked
understand
out.
That, but
and the guy
but,
they traded but, for has been hurt for 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's
traded.
Okay,
has been hurt for
but,
2 years.
But do you think that if you had one of the best pitching, and we have to break, do you think that if you had one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, that you could have gotten more than Pomeranz for?
Yes.
So, again, I will ask you, has he done anything that you couldn't have done? Here's my best prospect. Give me Pomeranz. Here's a bunch of money. Give me price to sale. Like, these are things I could have done. You know, or no, trade Machado. Here.
Now, that would have been great. You send him Devers for Machado?
Yeah.
Devers to Baltimore for Machado? Yep.
Not Machado. I mean, what's his face? Mankato or whatever the hell is the guy's name.
Yoan Moncada. That was a trade that worked. That was a good trade.
They got Sale, but I could have done that too.
All I'm saying is that's a good trade. They needed an ace because of the previous regime's lack of ability to re-sign John Lester,
and
that's a guy they had.
But I could have made that trade, as could you. All right.
Probably true.
No, it is true.
Probably true.
Here's our best prospects. Yeah. I want Sale.
Kopech and Machado to give a sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the headlines. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe's joining us in studio. He'll be on mic at 9 o'clock, but while it's already bothering him about his stupid fantasy hockey team.
I have a guy with knowledge. Why wouldn't I put him to
because
use?
Because fantasy hockey is the most impossible thing to follow in the entire world.
Because there's a million different ways of getting like points and how you don't get them. Like, I mean,
I'm into it, man. Opening night. Well, I need a guy.
But who knows, like, who's on the second line of
this man, which is why he's helping me.
But he's a professional broadcaster.
Do you draft all, like all four lines? How does it work?
No.
Like, what do you do?
You got to know what's going on here. You draft.
I don't. A certain amount of forwards.
Neither do I.
You draft, like five
second
defensemen.
Pair defensemen for, the Coyotes.
Yeah, so how does a defenseman get, how does he get points? It's not, obviously not just for his offense, right? I mean, is there like something for, block shots?
There is actually. There's block shots, goals, assists, plus, minus.
I played it 1 year.
Power play goals.
It was Sanskrit.
Right. It's like speaking a foreign language. Yeah. How many total players?
Lots.
Name the players on your team.
Okay.
And I'll tell you if I can tell you who they are.
I have a feeling it's going to peter out around the fourth player.
Now, by the way,
Sidney Crosby was my first pitch.
By the way, I'm a big hockey fan.
Yeah.
And I will tell you how many of these I can name. Go ahead.
All right, Sidney Crosby.
I don't know who that is.
Taylor Hall.
Yes.
Alexander Radulov.
I don't know.
Dallas skates on a line with Sagan. Jason Zucker.
No.
All right. Nazem Kadri.
Yes.
Okay. Kyle Connor.
Yes.
You know who Kyle Connor is?
Yes.
Who does he play for?
I don't know. I was just trying to.
Tuuvo Teravainen.
No.
All right. Brendan Gallagher.
I know who he is. I'm not aware of who he plays for right
Tomas
now.
Hurdle.
Is that a Red Wing? Wasn't he on the
no,
Red Wings?
No, he's at San Jose.
Wasn't he on the Red Wings at some point?
Not that I'm aware of.
Tatar. I got it.
Yes. Ryan Suter.
Yes.
Okay. Oscar Klefbom.
No.
Tyler Myers.
Yes, he's a defenseman.
Ryan Dzingel. Is it Dzingel or Dzingel? Dzingel. I had it right.
Yeah, it's Zingy.
Well, you don't even know how to pronounce his name.
The Zing Man.
Pekka Rinne. Yeah,
of course.
All right. And the backup goaltender is Antti Raanta.
No.
Okay. You see, this almost seems like...
Oh, and David Backus.
It's, yeah, okay, sure. Well, then to me, this seems less fun than it is just about stats and numbers. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, I have the glasses. We you go do have the glasses. The time,
you, do,
so.
You definitely do that.
So I have the glasses.
So you're playing in a league with Jaffe?
Did you know?
No.
Did you know who all these guys were before you drafted them?
No, I had to study on about 7 or 8 of them.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Because that's impossible.
No, they were the next ranked. You just study on
actually, it's true. They all thought the cue list popped up. Like, oh, that guy looks
you
good.
You try to spin it out. You want to spin it.
I'm not the only one to say. There are 14 guys playing in this league.
Yeah, I know, but like Rucker's obsessed with it.
Well, that's true.
Because that's all Rucker has to do.
It's true. Ryan Johnson is in it. We have Ty Anderson who's in it.
Okay, but here's the deal is that Ty Anderson.
Haggerty.
Okay, well, Haggerty and Ty Anderson, that's all they have to do.
Yeah. Did Haggerty just try to draft Sagan 18 times?
No, I don't think he got... Sagan, Haggerty's guy.
No, he got Sagan in the first round of thing of Juergens in the second and Tissues in the third. The man's a professional hockey writer who had a picture with his arm around Sagan as his avatar.
Yeah. Let's see if he did get Sagan. No, he didn't.
Oh.
He got Pastrnak instead, though.
Okay.
Well,
Pastrnak is a 1A.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will give him credit, is that he saw Pastrnak during rookie camp and thought that he was going to be a big deal.
Was Pastrnak
which Jaffe laughed at.
Fantasy-wise, was he the highest-ranked, Bruin?
Pastrnak?
Yeah.
Marchand was number one.
Oh, okay.
Pastrnak was right after him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so you're basically, you don't know who any of these guys are.
No, I knew about 65% of the guys.
Okay.
Before I drafted them.
I'll give you this much. This does sound a little more fun than fantasy baseball.
No, fantasy baseball is great because there's so many players that you can make trades and things of that nature. And it's not hard in that you can see matchups. Like you can look at, like even if you don't like know. Okay, here's the deal with fantasy baseball, with pitchers. Is that I can go and I can go, all right, here's this guy's ERA, here's this guy's whip, and I can see who he's playing against, and I'll go, okay, I'll start him. It takes all of 3 minutes. With fantasy hockey, penalty minutes, like what the hell?
Don't forget hits, block shots.
Yeah, like what the hell do I know?
Power play goals, you get extra points for a hat trick.
Yeah, like what do I know who's blocking shots? In the regular season?
Well, yeah, I guess it does like, it all
no
for you.
No one blocks shots in the regular season.
Oh, everybody. You just got to look. You got to look for
so
the numbers.
So if I'm a top-tier defenseman,
yeah.
I'm sacrificing my body.
That's usually what top-tier defensemen do.
In October?
Sure you do.
Oh, well, if I'm Cassidy and McAvoy starts laying down on the ground to block everything,
yeah.
I'm going, get
slide
the hell
across
up.
The ice.
I'm going to go, get the hell up.
Hell yes.
Don't need you breaking your leg, dummy.
So anyway, Jaffe was nice enough to help me.
I didn't say there Jaffe shouldn't help you.
Oh, you just said it was insane I was involved in the first
yes,
place.
Yes, I don't care if Jaffe helps you, but Jaffe's job...
Yes.
Because he works for the NHL, at least he did. He has to know who all these guys are.
Yep.
And Haggerty has to know who all these guys mm-hmm. are. And Johnson, for some reason, has to know all they are.
Oh, he hosts a hockey show every Sunday.
Well,
so,
well he keeps swinging and missing the jobs. But the thing is that, yes, maybe you could study a little bit more.
That is so hard.
Oh, he loves it. He doesn't care.
Man. And he has to sit in there and host a show with the guy who beat him out for the job, too.
Yeah.
Not easy.
And there's nothing more rewarding than, like, on a, is it Saturdays or Sundays?
I think it's Saturdays. I got that wrong. Nothing Saturday like, morning hockey show.
Yeah, nothing like driving to Dorchester at 6 in the morning on a Saturday to really strap in for a wild ride. All right. But I can't make heads or tails of any of that
I understand.
Stuff. I won't pretend. I don't know who any...
Who won the league last year?
Rucker.
Kauffman beat me in the final.
Oh, Kauffman. Well, Sarge didn't like that.
Nope.
Not at all.
On the last day, Kauffman beat me in the final.
Yeah. Well, that had to be tough for him. Maybe he's going to take one of his belts and smash him over the head. All right. Speaking of Billy Jaffe, he's going to join us at 9 o'clock.
The games are only half of it. Sure and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. 617-779-0985. Nick, go ahead.
Guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Nick?
Not much. So I just want to tell you a little something. I work in New Hampshire, and
I'm sorry.
Doing window washing. I don't appreciate waking up at 6 a.m. and hearing you guys arguing all the time. If I sound nervous, it's because I'm more nervous than Nick DeMille at a meeting.
Oh, man. Okay. Which is nervous, because if you watch that video of him at the city council,
his eyes when he's asked a question.
Yeah, I saw a little bit on Instagram. But anyways, it's freezing cold out. I turn on the radio, and I hear Rich saying, I don't care about 60 million times. And I hear I hear Fred just going on arguing. So I'm a faithful listener. I listen every morning.
What do you want me to do? I took phone calls for 20 minutes ripping on me.
No. Hold on. I'm not arguing with you.
Okay. Well, it sounds like I want to pick a fight.
No, I agree. That was not good radio this morning. I agree. And for that, you know, listen, you can't serve them steak every break. I understand.
I don't think that was necessarily bad.
I thought the first break wasn't good.
Who care? I thought it was fine.
Let me just say something. It's extremely entertaining, but I don't appreciate the negative atmosphere in the morning. And one of you two almost pushed me over the edge to make me think to stop listening. You want to know who it was?
Sarge.
Bingo.
You blew the punchline, Fred. Yeah, he had it ready to go. thanks, man. See, that was the thing.
Remember one thing. Mm-hmm. 5:15:75.
That's right, 5:15:75.
I stand by the first break. I don't think there's anything wrong with arguing.
Well, there's arguing, and then we repeated ourselves a lot. It wasn't that it was hostile. I like that. But when you repeat yourself over and over again, and it doesn't go anywhere, that's when I think it turns into not great radio.
But what does everyone want out of me? I mean, Jesus.
Amazing Marconi Award-winning radio.
We had an argument. Everyone flips out whenever we have an argument.
Because they don't want mom and dad fighting, Fred.
Maddie has people walking off the show. No one gives him any crap. We argued. What the hell? It's good.
Well, people think that when we argue, it's like we're turning the mics off and punching each other in the teeth.
But it doesn't even matter if we were. You have to argue.
We probably should fake that and walk off the show like
what are you, Barnes? So we have to. Yeah, you got that joke.
Jeffy got that joke.
Yeah, but don't sue me. So don't sue me for calling you Captain Back Acne, which a guy did in Atlanta. But listen, I like arguing. I don't care. And if it went on too long, it went on too long. And by the way, I paid my penance and took first of all, it killed the whole first hour, which was great. And then I took 55 phone calls telling me how much I suck.
Well, it was how much Sarge sucked.
Yeah, I was just going to say 50 of those were about Sarge.
Yeah, but that's great too.
That's true.
Right.
If that's all it takes to prompt these things, then I guess.
I don't care. If you think I suck and Rich is the greatest, fine. But I will not change. I like arguing sometimes. Not all the time. But it involved the Cubs. And when it involves the Cubs, I'm going to get pissed. If anyone disagrees with me.
You should be happy this morning.
I was! But then you defended them.
You ruined it.
But then you defended them, which I won't stand for. I'm only a man. And by the way, I'm a sports fan who doesn't like the Cubs. So I will. And here's Billy Jaffe, Captain Cub fan, even though he's never been to the South Side in his entire life. And
why'd you rope Jaffe in this?
Because he's a piece of crap. All right. Billy Jaffe is going to join the snow commercials here, just the headlines. From the Town Fair Tire Zone.